Continue in the season of Epiphany to look for Christ's inbreaking presence into our midst. And we see how sometimes when we recognize this presence, we wonder how we missed it before. Sometimes we think that Christ can only do so much. We may limit all that God would be up to in this world. We may limit all that Christ would be up to in this world to fit what would make sense to us, or to fit our expectations of what the maximum could be. We would think this is all that God could do, only to have God tell us, no, we are wrong. God can do even more. See, this first issue, I think, on display in our reading from Isaiah today, where we hear the prophet say, I've spent my labor for nothing and in vain. The prophet realizes that God had called him from the very beginning, while in the womb, to be a prophet to the people, to speak God's word. And perhaps he didn't always do this. Perhaps there were times in his life when he fell short of this goal, when he didn't realize that that is what God had called him to do. And now that he knows that this was his purpose and his mission, he may think, but I had done it wrong before. I had spent my effort, my labor for vanity and nothing. How often I think this can be our story too. We can finally realize something God has been calling us into, finally have our awareness open to how we should have been living all along, and then want to beat ourselves up for the past, to say, I have spent my labor for nothing and for vanity. How foolish of me. I should have gotten this right sooner. I should have done it earlier. And we lament this past time. And reasonably so. I don't think this is what we're called to do, dear brothers and sisters, to beat ourselves up for our past selves. No, as God chooses to make God's presence known to us, all we can do is respond now, in the present, and say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you here. Perhaps there is a reason that I couldn't see it until this moment. But for whatever reason, now is the time that I can see my calling, my purpose, my identity in you, whatever that may be, help me live from there now. I think John in our gospel story gives us a good model in this regard. As he says very clearly, I didn't know who Jesus was as the Messiah beforehand. I had to wait till God revealed it to me. And God revealed this truth to me when I saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove and remain upon him. Of course, we heard Matthew's gospel last week about that process happening at Jesus' baptism. And here in the Gospel of John, we recognize that John the Baptist has this moment of seeing the Holy Spirit draw near to Christ and rest upon Jesus. And now he knows, yes, this is the Messiah, the Lamb of God who was sent to take away the sin of the world. That is John's proclamation now. We know, of course, that Jesus was in the world prior to this. Based on Luke's gospel, we know that Jesus and John were cousins. And yet John is telling us today, I didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah until this moment. He could be going back and beating himself up for the past times that he did not point to Jesus as Messiah, that he did not say, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world throughout his life. He could say, Lord, how did I miss this earlier? But John doesn't do this. He simply says, this is the point at which I could finally understand and see the truth. This was the point at which God revealed who Jesus was to me. And so therefore, now is the time that I will bear witness to who Jesus is as the Messiah. This is what we are to do as well, dear brothers and sisters. As God reveals to us the truth of who Jesus is, the truth of who we are, the best we can do is in those moments bear witness to what we now know to be true, to bear witness to the ways in which we know we should live in the light of what God has done. The other element we see, of course, in our readings is that we might seek to limit all that God would do. Not even intentionally. We might think that God must be doing everything that God can. This might be what the disciples of John thought. We're following this prophet who makes known to us God's word. What more could we do? What more could be done in the world than to know such a prophet? And so we think that we finally have got it figured out. That here must be the limits of God's action and work in the world. And it is amazing for us to be a part of it. Well, of course, it is amazing to be a part of it, but to think we ever know the limits, we're going to find ourselves mistaken. That we do not know God all the way. We do not understand the limits that God has. But the good news today is that our misunderstanding often falls short of who God is, not as judge, but rather as one who is gracious, merciful, and loving. We rarely can see just how truly gracious God is, and how much power God has to make that grace known in the world, a world that is full of darkness, despair, and brokenness. This is the setting that Isaiah finds himself in, a setting of bitter despair as the people are in exile and they think there is no hope for them. And now the prophet is tasked with bearing a message of hope to a hopeless people, of saying, yes, God will work to redeem and restore you, as impossible as that seems. The task that Isaiah has of getting people to trust that God could and would work in this way is a gargantuan task, likely felt overwhelming to him. And yet God says to Isaiah, this task that I have given you, that likely seems impossible to you, is too light a thing for me. It is too light a thing for you only to bear this good news to the people of Israel and tell them that they will be redeemed and restored out of exile. That is too little. No, I will do even more. I want the world to hear the good news of my salvation. Isaiah, you will be a light to all of the nations. This may have seemed overwhelming, and yet God is also clear. Isaiah, I'm not asking you to bring this about. I am asking you to bear witness to the truth that God is bringing about. You are a light to reveal that God is at work among the nations. This is the same that is true for John. John is just pointing to the light, is to reveal to others that who the Messiah is. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John's disciples may have thought they had already found this great work of God in their midst, as John proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And they would be right. This is truly amazing that people could go and hear with assurance their sins had been forgiven. But God says, this is too light a thing for me to forgive individual sins, for me to forgive individuals one by one. No, I will send my Son as the Lamb of God, who will take away the sin of the whole world. God says, I will choose to come and deal with the power of sin and death directly, that all may know life, may know my grace and my mercy through Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. And we are ever aware of this ever unfolding presence of God in our midst. Christ, who continues to invite us, like the disciples of John, to come and see what God is up to in the world. And we are to know that all those things that feel so heavy to us, all those places in this world where there is brokenness and darkness, the sin we are aware of and the sin that escapes us, all of it, is too light a thing for God. God will go even beyond our awareness of what must be done in this world to address those other places that we are not aware of, that just as sorely need the light and love of Christ. And God is doing this. I think this is the good news that Paul wants the church in Corinth to trust in as well, to see that it was too light a thing just for God to bring us together, just for God to redeem and restore us in Christ. As wonderful as these things are, God is doing even more to bind us to each other, to redeem and reconcile this world. God is strengthening us, nourishing us by the power of the Holy Spirit, is gifting us in ways that we can be sustained in our own mission and ministry as we await for Christ's return. This is not something we could accomplish on our own, but through the Spirit we might be blameless when Jesus returns, knowing that through the Spirit we are connected to Christ, this blameless one. And that to share these gifts with God is too light a thing, from God to us is too light a thing. But God longs to keep working in ways that help us and all this world know the good news, God's redeeming and reconciling love. To know the good news that God would long to save all the nations, all this world. We can have a hard time seeing this truth sometimes, which is why we need God's presence. We need God's perspective to be made manifest among us. Help us see that here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. This is the one we encounter in this meal that we share. Christ shows up to continue to remind us that it is too light a thing for God only to come at certain moments, but here in this place at this time, Christ is still near to us, is still sharing with us the good news of God's grace, mercy, and love. In this bread and wine, we encounter Christ's own body and blood, and we are still invited to come and see the goodness of God's presence. And as we taste and see this truth today, as we find ourselves strengthened and nourished through this feast, we once more receive the gifts of the Spirit, gifts that send us out into this world to continue our mission and ministry of celebrating and sharing the love of Christ. We know these things are truly amazing. And yet as we go, we know that God will continue to astound us, will continue to show us that the things that seemed impossible or too difficult are too light a thing for God, and that God is doing even more than we could ask or imagine. And as we begin to recognize this good news, as we begin to more readily see Christ's presence in this world and the way in which God is at work to offer the healing, redemption, and restoration we desperately need, we can only say in response to all that God is doing and to the ways in which God is being with us, thanks be to God. Amen.